You're listening to Speed City F1 on Sirius XM with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Welcome to the show, gearheads. It's John Massengill sitting in the studio in Austin, Texas, joined by my co-host Les Kaiser over Zoom. Jonathan Green is not going to join us today. He is up at Indy doing some Moto America, but he's doing the usual up there with his mayhem. We just watched the Eifel Grand Prix from Germany at the Nürburgring, and Lewis Hamilton wins the race, but it wasn't your typical Lewis Hamilton race win with not much else going on, because there was lots of action going on in the race. Les, what'd you think of the race, man? Pretty good, huh?
Hey, it did not disappoint one bit. Everything was going on. Tire temperatures we saw come into play, especially behind the safety car. Two stop for so many of them. It was awesome.
Daniel Ricciardo on the podium, baby. How about that?
Yeah, going to be curious what this tattoo looks like. It's going to include something interesting, you can bet.
Yeah, if you don't know what Les is talking about, then Daniel Ricciardo bet Cyril Abitbol that he would get a tattoo if he got a podium this year. Now, there is some argument whether the technicalities of where that podium needed to happen and all that are still happening, but we'll see what happened. But it was a really interesting race. We had lots of action up and down. We had several cars out of the race. How many did we have? Five retirements, Les? And yes. Let's see. Yeah, we had Russell, Bottas, Ocon, Albon, and Norris all out of the race, all for different reasons. So let me just run down the order. Lewis Hamilton wins the race. Max Verstappen in second. Daniel Ricciardo, like we mentioned, on podium. Sergio Perez in fourth in the Racing Point. Then we had Carlos Sainz, Pierre Gasly, Charles Leclerc in seventh in the Ferrari. Nico Hülkenberg, who had a surprise weekend, finishes eighth. Roman Grosjean for the Haas F1 team finishes in the points. So I guess that makes a point for Grosjean and a point for Magnussen both this season. And then Antonio Giovinazzi in 10th. Sebastian Vettel outside the points in the Ferrari in 11th. Kimi Raikkonen in 12th, who, of course, set the record this weekend for the most GP starts ever. And then Kevin Magnussen, Nicholas Latifi, and Daniel Kvyat finishing up the cars that were running in 15th. But of course, Lewis Hamilton, Les, ties Michael Schumacher for most wins all time with 91. You've been a Lewis Hamilton fan since I've known you.
Yeah, you know, definitely a lot of respect there. You know, we saw it coming. It's been growing on it. You know, there's a real interesting comment Mick talked about championships and what his father had told him, and basically that records will be broken. You want that for the sport. It's, you know, it's exciting. It's all those kinds of things. And as we saw today, this was a great race to see that happen, in particularly for the 91st.
Yeah, you know what? I think I agree with that. You know, I've got my favorites in all different sports, and I do love to see those records that stay forever. But it is exciting for the sport. It's good for the sport to see these records fall. And Lewis Hamilton has certainly earned this plateau that he has reached at 91 victories. And, I mean, it's almost a certainty that he will, hold that record by himself. And, of course, hold that seventh championship. Wow, that's amazing to say, isn't it, that Lewis Hamilton will have a seventh championship. But the race itself, man, I have several pages of notes, starting with the very beginning of the race. Bottas being Mr. Aggressive, man, Hamilton really forced him across the grass, and he stayed in it. He kept his foot in it and kept going and kept his lead at the beginning of the race and was looking very aggressive. And don't you know, Toto Wolff was holding his breath, Les, with those guys going at it at the first turn there. But it was exciting to see Bottas be aggressive.
It was. It's cool. I think that's one thing that's coming up from Bottas that we're seeing more and more. You commented on it. We saw some of it past couple of races. That was settle the horses a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was exciting from start to finish, man, because, you know, Daniel Ricciardo, he had the podium today. He looked good the entire race. You know, starting off at the beginning, he passed Leclerc for fourth on lap 8. So he was aggressive right from the start. Not, you know, Daniel's going to be. He's always been an aggressive. I wouldn't call him aggressive in the same vein as Verstappen. But he's always been an aggressive driver. But in particular, what really stood out to me was Daniel Ricciardo. So we had the safety car on lap 47 when Lando Norris went out of the race, right? And Ricciardo on the restart on lap 50, it was Ricciardo, it was Verstappen and Hamilton, and all three of them were going at it hard. I mean, isn't that a great restart? Think about it. Those three guys, you couldn't have picked a better restart guys to battle for the front of the race because Ricciardo almost got Verstappen. You know, we talk about, I even said it in the pre-show, how we talk about how we think that Verstappen and Hamilton and Leclerc, or we think of those as the best drivers in the sport. But Daniel Ricciardo, you got to put him in that conversation, at least, you know, top five kind of guy for sure, because he was battling Verstappen and almost took that second place spot from Verstappen. How awesome would that have been?
Oh, yeah, for sure. That was great. I was kind of looking forward to it. It's been a while since we saw Ricciardo and Max go head-to-head on this. But great. Your comment about Ricciardo being aggressive. He's smartly aggressive. He's not like, you know, a wild gunslinger. But, I mean,
good point.
He has a level head on him as he goes with it. And so, yeah. Whereas Max, I feel, is a bit wilder, a bit looser with his aggression. I like watching Ricciardo. It very definitely seems planned specifically and executed well.
Yeah, that's a good way. A little more maturity, a little more chronological time passed with Ricciardo. But it was really fun to watch him today. And really fun to see the team get, this was their first podium since they returned, of course, right? And this was the first podium for Renault since they returned to F1, but it was also Ricciardo's first podium since 2018. That's, you know, we're used to seeing him on the podium back in the day with Red Bull. But yeah, first one since 2018 for Ricciardo.
Absolutely. You know, it's great to see. We know he's capable of being up there. I'm always like seeing a driver deliver before they exit a team. And I'm excited to see what next year is going to be for Ricciardo. We see what he does in good quality equipment.
Yeah, that will be exciting. And, you know, you got to figure that the Renault car and the McLarens right now are pretty, you know, pretty evenly matched. So it's good. So what about Grosjean? You remember early in the race when, I think it was Kimi Raikkonen, he said that Kimi Raikkonen hit the gravel. I think it was opening lap or second lap. And Raikkonen hit the gravel or hit some gravel or thrown it on the track. And something flew up and hit Grosjean's finger. And he was complaining that it might even be broken. I never heard any more of that. I checked with the Twitter accounts on Haas F1 team, and I never heard any more about it. But Grosjean ended up obviously doing pretty good, picked up his first points of the season, finishing P9, Magnussen finishing P13. So we've got a couple of points now for the Haas F1 team and moving them a notch off the cellar even further. What about the drive from the Haas boys today, Les?
Hey, I think that was great. It was looking good. I like the thing. In tune, a lot of clean racing, though. Yeah, it was tight.
I hear the dogs at the house, Les. Typical pandemic Zoom type meeting with us. That's all right. Don't worry about it. But you know, I was thinking about the Haas team in this year, and you know, I think that anytime they can snag a couple of points like this, obviously great. But the expectation. I think it's fine. You know, we know we're waiting for a year or two down the road with them, and I'm not worried about it at all. But hey, Les, what about the helmet presentation from Mick Schumacher to Lewis Hamilton. Michael's helmet, that he matched the 91 wins. That was a pretty awesome moment as well. Oh, may have lost Mr. Kaiser, but you know what? I'm just looking down the grid here. Let me look at the, so we had Sergio Perez in fourth. You know, at one point, right before the safety car from Lando Norris, Sergio Perez was gaining on Daniel Ricciardo. So really, if you think about the timing of that safety car for that would happen because of Lando Norris, that was actually perfect for Daniel Ricciardo. And I was really excited because when that happened, I was like, okay, this is going to shake this whole thing up. And, obviously the pits exploded then. Everybody came into the pits. And, this erased a 58-second, almost a full minute lead that Lewis Hamilton had on Max Verstappen Daniel Ricciardo at that point, because Verstappen was behind Hamilton by about 10 seconds. But that was very fortuitous timing for the safety car for Daniel Ricciardo, because he got to come in, fresh tires, reset, and kind of level the playing field back with Perez, and then was able to secure that podium. But Sergio Perez finishing fourth, and Carlos Sainz right behind him. So you had the Racing Point and the McLaren, and then Gasly in sixth. Another good race for Gasly, finishing ahead of the Ferrari again, finishing ahead of Leclerc. And then we got to love it that our surprise driver for the weekend, Nico Hülkenberg, finishing way up in the points. We were thinking on the pre-show, it'd be great if he could get close to the points. We're thinking maybe he finished 13, 14, 15, but finishing in the points. But Les, have I got you back on the line? What'd you think about Hülkenberg getting points up in eighth?
Oh, okay. Absolutely. That was fantastic. He, solidified what we've been saying about Hülkenberg. He's qualified. He made a lot of wise moves. His early on race, he was aggressive in the start, made some smart, not overly complicated moves. Came up, he consistently just clicked off, check, 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 check. And then he had some good pit strategy. The timing worked out well for him on that. So way to go, Hulk and team.
All right. Well, great. Let's go ahead and take our first break. But when we come back, we have a special guest on the phone. We have Linus Lindquist on the phone. Very exciting new young race driver and having a great successful season. So stick with us through the break. You're listening to Speed City, and we'll be back after these messages.
And this is Speed City.
You're listening to Speed City F1 on Sirius XM.
Thank you, Mr. Gene Haas, for bringing us back from break. I'm sure he's got a smile on his face today, as is Gunther and the rest of the Haas F1 team. You know what, Les? This 2020 crazy season, you never know what to expect, and I am pretty happy about the Eiffel Grand Prix at the Nürburgring in Germany today, because it gave us some good racing, lots of interesting things going on. But we have a special guest that has joined us on the phone via Skype and is going to help us break that down. We're going to learn all about his amazing 2020 season. Speaking of 2020, Linus Lundquist. Linus, welcome back to Speed City.
Hi, guys. Thank you very much. Good to be back.
Well, thank you for coming back on, man. You have had an amazing season this year. You absolutely killed it here in the United States at the Formula Regional Championship and just cleaned up with this thing and have already secured the championship early. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you very much. For sure. I mean, it's been a great season. And we still have one race weekend to go, but we managed to wrap it up last weekend at Homestead. So, yeah, for sure. It's been a great year with one championship. So, yeah, looking forward to next year.
Yeah, and what have you won? 12 of 14 races, something like that?
Yeah, that's right. So as of right now, it's 12 out of 14. We still got three races to go, so I'm planning on buffing that number a bit more.
Oh, come on. You got it. You can't win every single one. That's pretty amazing, actually. I mean, I know that you have been an impressive young driver, but did you have any inkling that you could come over and dominate this championship like this?
No, and I mean, we spoke about this before. I mean, this year has just been crazy, not just with racing, but from my point of view as well, just getting into the U.S., I think we spoke about this the last time, actually, was a struggle. And then obviously coming here with close to no testing, never driven the tracks or the circuits before, so it was always going to be a challenge. And then obviously we got off to a good start at Ohio and then just try to build it from there. And we never really stopped. So, it was far from my expectations, that's for sure.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on, and I want to get we're going to talk all about your career, the scholarship, your next year, what's coming up. But I want to get your take on some Formula One this year. And did you get a chance to watch the Eiffel Grand Prix today?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, what do you think about this? The race itself, I looked for just individual little battles up and down, but my favorite in my mind, the driver of the day, it was a toss between Hülkenberg and Ricciardo, but I have to give it to Ricciardo for what he did. What'd you think of his drive today?
Yeah, no, I gotta agree, and I gotta put another guy up there is Perez, actually. I think he did a great job.
Sure.
Obviously coming from ninth up to fourth, and obviously they were in for the shot, and I thought it would be a really fun fight to watch if the safety car never came out in the end, if Perez would have caught Ricciardo. And obviously we know that Ricciardo would never have left that spot without a fight. So that would have been interesting. But super. I think we're all happy to see Daniel back on the podium and to see Renault getting their first one in a while.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited. You know, I wrote in my notes, this is the seventh team we've had on the podium this year. And I think that's the most in a number of years. So, you know, we all went into 2020 season having no idea what was going to happen with this pandemic and no idea if we were even going to get racing. But I think this has turned into really an amazing Formula One season. And, you know, we've seen with Gasly having his success, Ferrari falling off the radar, and everything else. But what's been your favorite part of the Formula One season, Linus?
I mean, you got to say, in the beginning, it was really nice to see, I mean, when Leclerc fought to the first podium and Norris getting on the podium, and then obviously the races we had at Monza and, those kind of races are always super fun to watch. But what I think has been the most interesting this year has been the fight for more or less third place, fourth place with a couple of teams, and it's been super close between them, haven't it? Like a tenth or two can put you from P5 to P9, P10 to be struggling for points. So that gap and that fight has been really interesting to watch for sure. Obviously, you got Mercedes that's on top, and then it's been fun to see Max trying to challenge as well. But I think the battle behind them has been the most fun, at least for me.
I agree with you. This midfield, this last couple of years, the midfield battle has been so good. The times are so tight in that midfield battle. So I completely agree with you. But let me ask you a question about, you know, I'd love to get driver's perspective on what we just saw. And before you came on, we were discussing the aggressiveness of drivers like Max Verstappen and Daniel Ricciardo. We were talking about how Ricciardo maybe a little more, Les was saying, is a little more mature approach to it. But what do you think about the styles of those two particular drivers? Let's start with those two.
Yeah, well, I think Verstappen, I mean, looking at not just his F1 career, but even before that in karting and the year he did in F3, has always been very aggressive. But I think we saw a change him in, or a change in approach with him as well, one or two years ago. And ever since that, you know, he's always been super, super quick, but now he's been able to be super, super consistent as well. And then I think we sort of see the same with Daniel. It's just a well-rounded driver, isn't he? And then, as we know, super aggressive when he needs to be. And that's what I find so impressive with him. Like, he doesn't really have one mode. He can really switch from being super aggressive to really smooth and really consistent. And that's what impresses me both with Daniel and especially now Max within the last couple of years. That obviously we know that he's always had the speed, but now he's been able to back it up with consistency and, you know, pulling some smart moves as well and not just great aggressive moves.
Yeah, you definitely want to see a driver learn and mature like that, and I think he's doing that for sure. And but you know, it is it's fun for the sport to see aggressive driving. Obviously, we want to see safe driving. But speaking of aggressive driving, did you guys both see Kevin Magnussen and Sebastian Vettel going at it? Linus, did you see that right towards the end of the race?
Yeah, I saw that. And then you got Sebastian coming on the radio just like, oh, yeah, I didn't see him until the last minute. So it's like, you were fully aware he was on the outside.
Yeah.
Then you wouldn't expect anything less from Magnussen, you know, trying to bring it back in the right. But yeah, no, it's good to see fun battles like that. And I mean, especially maybe with Kevin, you always get fun times for sure.
Yeah. When I wish we had seen that from the very beginning, right? Because as soon as Vettel pushed him wide, I was like, oh, there's no way that Magnussen's going to let you get away with that without at least some sort of aggression. You know, you think about these guys, and I'm sure you've been there, but not recently. But if you're at the back of the field and there's not much going on, you got to take what action you can get, right?
Yeah, no, exactly that. And I mean, maybe it wasn't a fight for the points or whatever, but still, I mean, at the end of the day, we're all racers and we all want to compete and win. And if that's winning a fight, even if it's for 13th or 12th or whatever, it's still something that you're going to fight for.
Well, if you just tuned in, you're listening to our guest, Linus Lundqvist, and he is a Swedish driver, but he came over to the United States and spent some time up in Indianapolis and dominated the FR Americas Championship, which is essentially the F3 United States version, and has just had an incredible dominating season so far. But Linus, I think I want to go ahead and take our next break, and then when we come back, I want to learn more about what the future holds, because you've got an amazing scholarship, and next year looks really exciting. So if you stick with us through the break, we'll learn all about that. So listen to Speed City, and we'll be back after these messages.
Hello to everyone, this is Gunther Steiner, this is Speed City.
You're listening to Speed City F1 on SiriusXM.
All right, welcome back to the show. We just got to see the Eifel Grand Prix in Germany at the Nürburgring and watched Lewis Hamilton win the race to tie Michael Schumacher's 91st overall victories in Formula One. Really an amazing record. And got to see him battle with Max Verstappen and Daniel Ricciardo on the restart there with about 10 laps to go. And we had some good racing with Sergio Perez and Carlos Sainz and Gasly and Leclerc and Hülkenberg and Grosjean and Giovinazzi finishing out the top 10. So it was a very good race today. Watching, didn't know what to expect today with cold temperatures. It was 48 degrees over there. But we have on the line, I've got Les Kaiser on Zoom, and I'm in the studio. But we have Linus Lundqvist on the line, and we were just talking to Linus before the break about his season so far, dominating, already clinched the championship with a race to go in the FR America's F3 United States Championship. But Linus, I want to talk to you about next year, because having won this, you now are, with the scholarship that you've won, you got a free ride in Indy Lights for 2021. Tell us about this scholarship and the excitement for next year.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I gotta say as well, I mean, from Honda and Honda HPD, the initiative that they took with this scholarship, it's great. And I mean, for any junior driver, it's a great great possibility to be able to progress and take the next step. And exactly like you say, the winner of the championship gets a fully funded drive in the Indy Lights Championship for the following year, which means that you guys will be seeing me there, hopefully next season. So super excited about that. And obviously, there's still one more race weekend to go here in the Formula Regional Championship. So focus is on finishing on top, but obviously you start to think and start to plan a bit ahead for next year as well.
Well, tell us.
I gotta ask.
Go ahead, Les.
We always think of IndyCar and things like that as American, but we're obviously seeing an international take on it with a lot of other drivers. I gotta ask, do you have any relationships with Rosenqvist and Ericsson?
Yeah, I do. Funny you mentioned that. So we've actually met up a couple of times here in the US when we're all over. So we actually kind of had a bit of a, I'm not sure if I mentioned this the last time, but we actually had a bit of a dinner or lunch going with me, Felix, Marcus, and Rasmus, and the guy that I'm living with, Johnny. It's also a Swede. It's been nice as well to have a couple of Swedes here. So you don't forget the language and all about that.
Well, Linus, talk about where you're still staying up in Indianapolis, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
And how is it, I think we touched on this, but talk about, kind of getting settled in up there and it's a big change. And how did you and how you ended up deciding to do this championship?
Yeah, so obviously moving here, it's very different to what I'm used to. And as well, when I came here in beginning of June, I didn't know anyone. I had spoken to my team boss, Christian, at Global Racing Group on the phone maybe a handful of times. But that was it. That was more or less the closest person that I knew here. Obviously, I was in touch with Felix and with Marcus, but it was not that I was going to see them on a day-to-day basis. So we moved here not knowing anyone. But then luckily I got in with a good team and they welcomed me with open arms, and I got along really well with my teammates as well. So it's been going well. And the decision going here was, it was not maybe super clear. Let's say at the end of last season, I wasn't 100% sure, this is where I want to go. So we looked at our options, and then eventually this opportunity came along, and it was too good to turn down, I gotta say, one of the biggest things obviously being the Honda scholarship, and when HPD announced that they were going to support this championship, it seemed like a too good an opportunity to turn down. And yeah, now here we are, 6-8 months later.
You mentioned HPD, Honda, that is. I was curious, as you just said that, wow, we've just had the news that Honda is pulling out of Formula One. They're a very strong presence in Indy and the trail going up to Indy. Have you heard any noise or influence that might be headed that direction?
No, I think, we saw, a couple of weeks ago that obviously Honda is committed to IndyCar for a couple of more years, which is really good to see. And it just strengthened the whole IndyCar championship. And as IndyCar gets strengthened, obviously all the junior series leading up to it get stronger as well. And then obviously with their initiative now supporting both Formula 4 and the Formula Regional Championship, it's I think they're in a healthy state for sure. Obviously, hopefully Indy Lights next year will go ahead with a competitive field, because obviously it's unfortunate to see it not running this year, because we know it's a good championship. Just looking at the previous drivers and championship winners, and looking that most of the IndyCar field actually did a couple of races or championships in Indy Lights as well. So hopefully that will be a healthy series next year as well.
Linus, I was thinking about the F4 and the Formula Regionals and IndyCar and the path to Indy. Open wheel in the United States right now is really, really strong. IndyCar has a lot of momentum. The ratings are good. The racing is great. It's super competitive, super entertaining. Lots of young drivers up and coming right now. You've got, Colton Herta, and there's so many, and it's really exciting right now. And I think your timing seems to be really good. You know, when growing up in Sweden, I mean, were you thinking Formula One, and you know, is this seem like you would still be just as excited to forge a career in IndyCar in the path? What do you think about all that?
Yeah, no, for sure. Just as excited as I still was in Europe, and maybe even a bit more, to be honest, because it feels like it's more up to me over here in the U.S. Because you got the possibility, even if you don't have a full budget to go all the way to IndyCar to pay for everything, there is a progression ladder that really supports the winner, which is something that you don't really have or see in Europe. And I think for any driver, I mean, that's super exciting that you can actually drive yourself to the top, which is nice. And there was, obviously, I grew up watching mostly Formula One, but I mean, we had the likes of when Kenny was doing it. I was really young at the time, but it was still some buzz around it. And I think that still stayed around. And then obviously when Felix and Marcus came along to IndyCar, it brought up a lot of attention to it in Sweden as well. So for the last couple of years, obviously, it's been getting bigger and bigger in Sweden. So I definitely think that, and it's not just only me, but I think a lot of drivers have realized what good progression ladder there is over here in the U.S. and the possibility of actually making a career.
Yeah, it's really one of the most organized ladder systems, you know. And it's funny, you know, Formula One's been doing the same thing with their worldwide F3 regionals and Formula Two, of course. But this IndyCar ladder, and they've had it. They've had the, you know, the Mazda Road to Indy now with Honda's involvement and all that. They've had it, but it is a very well-run, well-organized ladder system up through. But let me go back to something you said. So you think IndyCar's been picking up some momentum, some popularity back in Sweden and around the world?
Yeah, for sure, without a doubt. I mean, just especially maybe within the racing community, it's something that you notice quite heavily back in Sweden, that obviously you got a lot of people that's very interested in Formula One, but when you get the Swedish racing drive, and I think what's really healthy for Swedish motorsport is when you have people fighting for podiums and wins, like you see both Felix and Marcus are doing in IndyCar, it you know, you get a lot of attention to it, which is really, really nice to see. And that's why I think as well we've gotten a lot more attention to IndyCar now, just the last 2 years.
Well, you know, one of the things is that there is a good history with Swedish folks coming over to join in. Stefan Johansson was really one of those that bounced around through several of the racing organizations and was quite successful. I think you've got a great trail to go and equal him, considering your age and what we're already seeing from you.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. And it's good to see him around, still being around the paddock as well, Stefan. So, yeah, no, for sure. I mean, it would be great to put my name up there as well, to be one of the Swedes that's driven. I don't even want to say driven that, because we're here to win. So my target is obviously to win an IndyCar. So that's hopefully where I'll see myself in a couple of years' time. But until then, just focus on what I have to do. And obviously this year has been going reasonably well. So, yeah, just trying to keep that momentum going for next year.
Hey, so Linus, shifting back to Formula One and, you know, your career before this season, you know, you talked about maybe, you know, trying to get into Formula One. Do you communicate with any of the drivers in Formula One, any of the teams, anybody like in at the Nürburgring today?
No, unfortunately not. No drivers nor team. I did race against some of the young guys, like in karting back in the day, but we're not in touch at the moment.
Did you race against what? Who are the guys that are on the grid, on the F1 grid, that you've raced against?
So I raced against Norris and Russell, and then Verstappen was always 1 year ahead of me, or one class above. Same with Leclerc. He was still a couple of years ahead of me. But yeah, no, I had some races against Norris, and especially, I mean, when you look at like the F2 and the F3 guys, those are the guys that I used to race, and 2013, 2014, back in the day. And even like in single seaters, my first year in the UK racing the British Formula 4, I raced against the, you know, Piastri, who won the F3 championship, Logan. It's good to see them up there. Some nice memories fighting and even beating them. So yeah, for sure.
So those guys, thinking about those guys today, you know, we talked about Leclerc and but did you guys hear Lando Norris talking on the radio where he was completely confused on the track position and where he was? I love the fact that he will just say it, admit it, and he's so, I think that's a good thing for the sport, that you guys have guys like Lando Norris that are obviously great drivers, but also good with the media and good on social media and good on Twitch and all those things. You know, coming up through your career, do you get instructions on how to interact with the press and the media and the world that way, Linus?
No, I wouldn't say so. Obviously, you get, or you can get a bit of media training, but there hasn't been any social media training per se, and how you interact and build your following that way. But it's good to see, and not just the Lando, but a lot of the young guys in F1 now starting to build that interaction. And I think especially now during COVID, when everybody was at home, they made a really a really good decision, but they built a really strong following with that. So it's good to see that they still keep it up, though, between races and everything.
All right, guys. Well, let's Linus, can you stick with us through one more segment? We've got to take a quick break.
Yeah, please.
All right. Well, great. Thanks. All right, guys. We're going to take our last break, and we'll be back, and we'll continue to talk a little bit more about the Eiffel Grand Prix in Formula One and our special guest, Linus Lindquist, back after these messages.
Hi guys, this is Craig Astley, and you're listening to Speed City.
You're listening to Speed City F1 on Sirius XM.
Pierre Gasly bringing us back. All right, welcome back to the show. We are talking about the Eiffel Grand Prix in Formula One in Germany at the Nürburgring, where we saw Lewis Hamilton win the race, Max Verstappen come in second, and Daniel Ricciardo, his first podium since 2018, first podium for Renault since they returned. Very exciting day to watch Daniel Ricciardo. Man, such an aggressive drive from him. I really, really enjoyed. Makes me miss having him up there at the front of the grid, man. And so we'll see how next year works out. But we have our guest on the line. We have Linus Lindquist, who is the reigning 2020, before the season's over, the 2020 Formula Regional Champion in F3 here in the United States, headed to Indy Lights next year. And Linus, I want to ask you about something I saw during today's race. I saw Kimi Raikkonen. I said during the break, he punted off Russell off the track, but he didn't really do that. It you know, he got a 10-second time penalty for that. I thought that was more just kind of racing. What did you see that, first of all, and what did you think of it?
Yeah, I saw it. And I don't know, man. For me, it just looked like he obviously he locked the right front, understeered a bit, and then lost the rear, overcorrected, and then steered into Russell. I think Kimi deserved a penalty for that, because Russell was just an innocent bystander. You know, it left him plenty of space, and Kimi just ran out of road. It's one of those. You know, if only like they didn't touch wheels, they would have come off with more or less nothing. But then obviously the wheels touch, and there's a massive consequence for it. So I think that made for a difference in decision with the stewards as well, because if they would all just have kept going, and then obviously Russell had to retire. So I guess that's what it made a change as well.
Yeah, I need to go back and watch it again. I was amazed at what was going on during the race. I have like 3 or 4 pages of notes. And I was trying to tweet for Speed City. I couldn't even keep up with all. There was too much going on. But one thing I want to talk about, guys, we haven't touched on this, is that we had a Mercedes failure today. I mean, the machine that is Mercedes had a car go out just on, you know, some mechanical failure or something, electrical or whatever. Pretty unusual stuff. And Les, I mean, I mean, we haven't seen much of that at all this year.
No, that's really interesting. I mean, they've been rock solid the entire time, it feels like. And I think that's why it really gives you a gut check when they do go out. And so, you know, not wishing ill again, but I'd rather have seen Lewis go out just to keep the points a little tighter on that and see Bottas up there for his second in a row win. I don't know. That's different. And then you had we were dealing with Lando messing with his. It sounded like he was having quite serious problems as well. And the thing about Lando is that is his third power unit this season. So he's out of them.
Yeah, so let's look at all the drivers that didn't finish. So we had Russell, we talked about what happened to him. Bottas, we talked about that, obviously some more mechanical failure. Ocon, Albon, and Norris. Norris obviously had the same thing, but Ocon had a mechanical failure of some sort. Albon, same thing, right? What happened to Albon? Linus, you remember what happened to Albon?
No, the funny thing was that I was watching the race, and I literally didn't even realize that Albon was out of the race. He had his lockup. The last thing I remember is he had a lockup fighting with the AlphaTauris and complained that they were fighting back. And then the next thing I know, he's out of the race. I'm not sure if I must have, I don't know, been on the bathroom or whatever, but I missed that completely.
Yeah, that makes two of
Albon
us.
Albon had a situation. He earned a five-second penalty when he came together with Kvyat and then and knocked Kvyat's front wing off of it. Now, that was through, I believe, some of the braking and the late braking things that they were battling over. But I don't know if he did, if he had some other failure soon after that. I suspect it was after that. That was still up early lap 18-ish. So, yeah, something else came around that took him not just out of competition, but took him out.
Yep. Well, tell you what, guys, let's take a look at the constructor standings right now. I think we've got those updated on F1.com. Mercedes now 391, Red Bull 211. So that's done. And the driver's standings, Lewis Hamilton 230. I say done. I shouldn't be so presumptive, but let's face it. But so back to driver standings, Lewis Hamilton 230 points, Valtteri Bottas 160, Max Verstappen right behind Bottas now. That's what I was looking for. 147 to 161 behind Bottas. So that is an interesting tightening up of that. And then Daniel Ricciardo, a pretty far step down at 78 points. And, of course, Sergio Perez, Lando Norris, Albon, and Leclerc, and finish that out. But it's still pretty tight. And, in fact, all the way from really all the way from 10th to 5th, that really 10th to 4th, that could change throughout the season. So that's going to be fun to watch. But Daniel Ricciardo today, I'm going to go back to him one more time. And because he does have a shot here now at wrapping up, let's say, the fourth place in driver standings with, what do we have, 5 races to go. And Linus, let me ask you a question. Do you have like a driver, you know, like a Daniel Ricciardo who's been ahead of you for several years, or somebody that's somebody you looked up to that you try to emulate, or someone like that?
Yeah, for sure.
Who is it? Who would be the drivers that you would emulate?
I never had, I think, a single driver that I idolized, but there were certainly like aspects of drivers that I would try to replicate or that I looked up to. But then as a Swede, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, like I was a fairly big fan and still is of Felix.
Sure.
And what he's done through his career. So it's been nice to follow him. And then obviously I started watching Formula One in 2007, which was Hamilton's rookie year, and ever since that year he was kind of the driver that I looked up to the most, and obviously I mean, he hasn't really dipped in performance ever since. So it's been nice to watch them.
Yeah, I can see how you would be partial to following Felix. Let me ask you this. After watching today's race, I mean, we talked about IndyCar and Formula One. What do you kind of think of the overall state of Formula One right now? You know, we've had in the last few seasons, we've had some complaints that it is, you know, that it wasn't as competitive as some of the other series, or that we had some boring races, but we've had so much good racing this year. What do you think about the state of Formula One, Linus?
I gotta say, the state of Formula One looks pretty healthy, in my opinion. At least looking competitive-wise, it's obviously you got Mercedes, that's the dominant factor. But I mean, just looking back at like Formula One history, like you usually have a team that's very dominant. There's no way of getting around that. Obviously, you have a couple of seasons that can spring off multiple teams being in the fight, but you usually get one or two teams that are very dominant. And I think it's just fun to see the midfield getting a bit closer and the midfield being so close. And hopefully when the regulations change and with the budget cap coming in, obviously that gap from the top team to the mid team can get even closer. And hopefully we can have, you know, 3-4, maybe even 5 teams fighting for podiums and wins on a regular basis. But I still got to say, you know, because you got to identify sort of the fights within, because you got the fight within Mercedes and Max being up there, and then you got the whole midfield section, and then you got the Haas, the Alphas, and the Williams, maybe at the lower end fighting. So it's kind of fun to identify those kind of battles and see who will end up on top.
Well, I got to ask you, we're almost out of timeliness, but I got to ask you the final question is, you know, do you expect the level of success that you've had already leading into when you step into Indy Lights next year?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the target, whatever series that I step into, the target is to win. And that's sort of why I do racing as well. It's, I don't know if it sounds cliche, but the thing is that we're not here to finish fourth or fifth or whatever. I'm here because I love winning. And without that, I don't think I would be able to continue with racing.
That's the answer. That's exactly what I expect someone with your level of success to do to say is, I plan on winning. Well, Linus Lundqvist, thank you for coming on the show. We appreciate it. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in today. And we will talk to you next Sunday. Check out our website, speedcitybroadcast.com, to check out all our schedules and content. Talk to you next week.